This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One, and away we go, ladies, out of the gate just like that on Friday.
So I already win, unless I have a bad day, because it's just Friday. It's just today.
Yeah, but you were off one day, so I feel like I get one mulligan. That was my mulligan. You were out.
These are unwritten rules. You can't change unwritten rules.
You were out, and I had to do one of those shows entirely by myself. And
I should point out that I was out for 2 days.
That's even worse.
Yeah, you said one day.
But mulligan. I get a mulligan.
No.
Certainly not out of the gate. I get a mulligan. Welcome whatever you want to say, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is live and on your radio January 3rd, 2025. Get in here. We're talking sports. Welcome, my dear friends. I am Rob Brown. That other seductive voice that you hear this AM is, of course, that of the great one, Lonzo. Thrilled, ecstatic to have you here on the show this morning. We have got to have it on a Friday. Got to get down on Friday. Got to have the Becky Black on a Friday. Got to get down on Friday.
It seems more like a Tuesday for me, so I had to remember that it's actually Friday.
It is. It turns out I've done the research. It is absolutely Friday.
Why are you wearing a GVL shirt?
Yeah, that's why. Because I saw it, and I thought, that's my thing. For those of you that don't follow me around all the other things that I do, I do my best to be very invested in the local sporting community of Greenville and Spartanburg, South Carolina. Triumph games, Drive games, Swamp Rabbit games, et cetera, soon to be Spartanburgers games. Can't wait to get over. More baseball is good, people. By the way, here's my question. Since they're going to be playing each other, since they're going to be divisional opponents / rivals, Lonzo, what is our stance, if any, on picking between the Greenville Drive and the Spartanburgers, or...
This is easy.
Is it permissible to be a fan of both?
No, this is the easy solution. We can be bought.
I
mean, who wants our fandom?
As my old high school football coach used to say, I cannot be bought. I can be rented.
Okay, there you go. We can be rented for the baseball season.
I'm just saying.
And it doesn't... It's not an exclusive rental agreement.
No, it's not.
It's just for this season.
I'm just saying... And I want to lean on this. Greenville Drive haven't invited us to come throw out a first pitch yet. Okay? Now, the old iteration of the Spartanburgers, which is not the same or connected in any way to the new iteration of the Spartanburgers, the old Spartanburgers had us out to throw a first pitch. The Greenville Drive have not invited us to throw out a first pitch. And yes, I am absolutely lobbying for that to happen. If you happen to be listening, Greenville Drive, when the season starts up, your boy absolutely would love to come out. And I want you to know, I'm throwing off the bump. None of this half-ass, halfway between the bump and the dish stuff. I'm going to the top of the mound, and I'm bringing Class A hater.
I don't know, man. It's been a couple years. I mean, do you still have the heat?
But what did I do?
Oh, you did.
What did I do? Corked it, center mass, baby.
You did. I was there, and I got credit for catching the ball, even though Keegan did it. That's fine. I'm good with that. You know, we can do that again. I'm not sure. I mean, you're pushing 40. You may not have it anymore.
I gotta tell you.
The old rotator cuff.
Listen, the rotator cuff is good today. You give me a first pitch out there at Floor Field. I'll sacrifice the rotator cuff for the people. All right? Rotator cuff it. I'll Drew Brees myself if it means I'm putting one over the dish at a hearty 70 miles an hour. Just screaming it in there. And by the way, you had better believe if that was to happen. You would better believe if that was to happen. They have in the they have at Fluor Field, they have the Pitchman tracking software. That's a software that when we say RoboWumps, that's what we're talking about. It's in minor league baseball. It's at Fluor Field. You would better believe that the second that I'm done, the second that I tunnel one straight down the pipe, I am leaving the field. I am going up the secret elevator to the press box. I'm walking down the hall to where the PitchCom tracker is. I'm throwing open the door, and I'm going, show me the readout. I want RPM. I want speed. I want exact moment and spot three-dimensionally that it cleared the plate. I want it all. But I will say this. The Greenville Drive have not invited us to throw out a first pitch. The old Spartanburgers did. The new ones, they're brand new. They haven't yet. It's a new iteration. I'm not saying that Lonzo and I will easily pick a side based on it. I'm just saying we can't be bought, but we can be rented. All right? I'm just saying whichever one of you two teams wants the Rob Brown bump, because Zoe and I, there's magic in these mics. We got Gunther, the longest intercontinental championship of all time. Orange Cassidy.
We also got him the world champion.
We did.
Don't forget that.
We did. That is true. Yeah. Orange Cassidy came on the show and had one of the best following 6 months of his career. We have had tag team champions come on the show. We've had intercontinental champions. We have had AEW tag and world heavyweight champions. And everybody that comes on this show, gets a bump. You can't name me a wrestler or a pro athlete that hasn't come on this show and immediately had success afterwards. You can't do it because we've tracked it. Everybody that comes on this show goes on to have immediate success. So all I'm saying is Spartanburgers, Drive, there's room for one. So whoever wants the Rob Brown Show bump, whoever wants whatever magic it is that Lonzo manifests with his soon to be owned Gandalf walking stick, all right, whoever wants that little bit of dark magic orchestrated by the Rob Brown Show, you call us, you let us know, we'll be there, and you will get exclusive rights to the fandom of the cast and crew of the Rob Brown Show. But you gotta hook us up. I'm not asking for stuff. I don't want merch. I do want merch and gear. I like having the customized jerseys.
I mean, come on. I mean, we're live on stream and have been for a really long time. And you know, if you want your gear seen,
yeah,
by millions
and millions,
this is the place to come to.
It kind of is. All right. So I'm just saying, if you want to toss us some, if you want to toss some jerseys,
my wide body can be rocking your logo.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
If you want to toss us a jersey with Rob Brown 3 on the back, if you want to toss us a jersey with Lonzo 69 nice on the back, all right, we'll rock the hell out of them.
I do that. 67 will work. And I don't need no 60. Yeah, anyway.
I forgot to put my Gronk laugh onto my soundboard. I got to get that fixed.
That's a shame.
Got to get my Gronk laugh back into the mix. The point here is our fandom can't be bought, but it can be rented. It can be rented by the season. It can be rented by the year. It can be rented by the decade. It just depends on how bad you want the Rob Brown Show bump. But I'm telling you, everybody who comes on this show, magic happens immediately after. So I'm not saying. I'm just saying, all right? Speaking of saying, we got a lot of sports stuff we got to say over the next 4 hours of sports talk excellence, the four most electrifying hours in sports talk entertainment, ladies and gentlemen. We have to get into today your final spot in the college football playoff semifinals is here. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish have fought their way in. They are set. They will be taking on the Penn State Nittany Lions when we get to the semifinals. Yay! It's back.
Yeah. Only one. Well, two people celebrating. You and him.
Oh, I got this one back too. Thanks, Mina. You're the best. So. Notre Dame is in. Everything they wanted last night. You know what? I'm going to take it back. They didn't get everything they wanted. There's two things I got to say about this game, great one. And I'm curious. Did you get it? Well, you watched the whole thing? It started at 4 o'clock. That's early enough you got to watch it, right?
Yes.
4 o'clock, you hit that. Then you hit the Bob Evans for the early bird.
Well, it's the blue plate at the cafeteria. There are no Bob Evans in this area that I'm aware of. Used to be one across the street, but it just didn't take
really?
For some reason. Yeah, it was right over there.
Huh.
Went there just once a week until they decided, nah, it's not going to work in this area.
I've never been to a Bob Evans before. That's weird.
If you're going to do it, go to Ohio and do it.
Yeah?
Because it's better there.
Is that like it's like Northern Waffle House? Is that what that is?
No. I don't know
Northern Denny's?
I don't know which one came first. The Bob
Waffle
Evans,
House.
Bob Evans has been around for a really long time.
There's no way it wasn't Waffle House.
And their corporate headquarters was in Columbus, like right around the corner from where I lived.
Waffle Houses. Yeah, boy. Good to be getting back into the groove, man. Get back into the groove in 2025. Never been to a Bob Evans. Anyway, the point here is, did you get to watch the game? Because I'm going to tell you, great one, I was unimpressed with Notre Dame. Even in the win, good win. You knocked off an SEC powerhouse in Georgia. Yeah, backup quarterback. And by the way, good call on Gunnar Stockton, Lonzo.
Thank you.
Good call on Gunnar Stockton.
It didn't help him win. Turnovers cost him. But still, I mean, yeah. I mean, he threw some.
He was balling until the fourth quarter. Yeah. Then he started. I think he got out of himself a little bit. I think he may have gotten a bit. Listen, the first three quarters, Gunnar Stockton was balling with a capital B. And then in the fourth, I think he started feeling himself a little bit. You know what I mean? I think he started getting to the point where he's like, oh, turns out I am him. Let me go act like it. And I think he started playing out in front of the skis a little bit. I think he got to the point where he was kind of feeling himself, and it led to some mistakes down the stretch. But I'm also not going to put it on Gunnar Stockton because, keeping it a buck, Gunnar Stockton gave us a hell of a lot more than I thought Gunnar Stockton was going to give us. Lonzo called the shot. He's like, what if this kid comes in, he's everything that's advertised, and he's bad? I'm going to tell you right now, based on what I saw last night, and perhaps this is a bit of a reach because it's one game. It's just one game. It's one game.
Don't you trust in Kirby's Crouton?
That's not even the Crouton. That kid should have replaced Gunnar Stockton in week five. Gunnar Stockton should have replaced Carson Beck in week five based on what I saw last night. Again,
who's a family member calls handsome Squidward.
That's really good. That's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good. We were watching something they showed him last night, and the wife was like, he kind of looks like Sid the Sloth from Ice Age. I was like, all right, that's messed up, dude. That's messed up. All right. Anyway, point here is he should have replaced Carson Beck weeks ago. If what we saw last night was an indication. Now, again, Notre Dame had what, like a couple of drives worth of film on this guy? So who's to say that he doesn't get found out after a few weeks? But Gunnar Stockton looked good. Here's what this game came down to. The ETN fumble in the first quarter, because that's 7 points off. That's a four, that, well, excuse me, what, a 7-point swing? Didn't Notre Dame go get a field goal off that? Or either way, Georgia, it's at least a 7-point swing. That one's got to be. You had the dropped, guaranteed touchdown on the left side in the either late third or early fourth quarter. You had the drop touchdown. That's another. There's 14 points off of two plays, right? There's the fumble. Again, it wouldn't have been on that play, but Georgia would have been down inside the 10 at that point. I'm trusting them to score there. Although, I trusted them to score when they had the ball left. They got the ball with, what, 14 and some change left in the fourth quarter of that game. So they had 5 minutes of possession inside the 25-yard line going in. Took them 5 minutes, and they did not score in that spot.
Yeah, it looked like okay, Georgia's got a shot in this. They're going to score here. They got a shot, and it just didn't happen. It was got to be very disappointing if you're a Georgia fan. By the way, really quick, Denny's started in 1953, Waffle House 1955,
ooh,
Bob Evans 1948.
Oh, the OG! Bob Evans, the OG.
Waffle House still better.
You can't say that because you haven't been to Bob Evans. But anyway, this is already a foregone conclusion, according to some people, that it's going to be Ohio State and Notre Dame. I think people are forgetting that they're actually playing against other people. I heard it a little bit earlier while I was setting up with the national show, and they make it sound like that's the title game.
I want to be real clear here. I'm picking Penn State today. I'm not. Riley Leonard had 90 yards of passing offense last night. They were not throwing the ball well. If it wasn't for the ETN fumble in the first, the dropped touchdown on the left-hand side, and then great one. There's two that I can recall, maybe three. I want to say there was one more. Two I can recall, just drops that would have been first downs that kept Georgia drives alive. At least two third downs that Stockton put the ball into the receiver's breadbasket, and they just put it on the turf and ended up having to punt or go for it on fourth down. I can think of four plays. And before you hit me with, well, Rob, you know, that's part of the game of football. Dude, if you get to a point where you are relying on wide-ass open wide receivers to have the ball just hit him in the face mask and go to the turf to win games, you're not going to win games. Not at this level. Certainly not in the semifinals. Daggum sure not in the national championship. It's not going to happen. Notre Dame last night needed a lot of help. Got a lot of help. I don't know if they needed it. Whether or not they needed it is irrelevant. They got a lot of help. And even after getting a lot of help last night, if Georgia scores on that opening drive, or I guess continuation drive, that they had the ball in the fourth quarter when they were down inside the 25, and it just got squirrely on them. If they score as they should have on that play or on that drive, now all of a sudden we're looking at a 23-17 game with a full fourth quarter to play? Yeah, I think Georgia can still win that football game, but they didn't. And that is on Georgia, and credit to Notre Dame's defense for coming up with the stop there. But there were like three other spots that Georgia could have, should have, would have scored. I'm not impressed with Notre Dame's offense. The Penn State defense that took Kevin Jennings out of the game, the Penn State defense that took Ashton Janty out of the game. Well, they had 103 yards, Rob. Yeah, I know. He had 103 yards, and it took them 30 carries to get there. He averaged less than 3.5 yards a carry. That Penn State defense getting after Riley Leonard in the Notre Dame offense, I'm picking Penn State right now. That might change my mind. I got 7 more days. I got a week to change my mind. But right now, the early indication, Ohio State, Penn State in the Natty, Big Ten stand up. All right, we're going to talk a lot more about that game last night. We will start breaking down the college football playoff semifinals. We're going to get into the NFL playoff scenarios from this weekend and more. It's all coming up. He's Lonzo. I'm Rob. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. I am going to alert you to this multiple times throughout the duration of the show, but I chose the word alert very intentionally so that we're clear to avoid this.
It's the only alarm that I have, so I mean, you know.
I chose the word alert very intentionally to avoid that. But let's get to it. Ladies and gentlemen, the new and improved Fan Upstate Armada text line is ready to go. And here's the good news. The good news is that you only got to save one contact in your phone, because now the call-in and the text-in are the same number. 844-326-3663. 844 F-A-N-F-O-N-E, 844-326-3663. Save it in your phone. That's the number that you call to get on the air if you're one of the elite 1%ers that call radio shows. It is a rule in talk radio that 1% of listenership will ever pick up the phone, dial, and get on the air. If you do that, you are P1. You are elite. But if you don't want to do that, the text line is open for you right now, 844-326-3663. You don't have to start your text with fan anymore because after waiting, anticipating, we now have our own dedicated text line. It's the same number as the call-in line, 844-326-3663. Shoot over your text. And what I am most excited about on the brand new and improved Armada text line
is the fact that I can't look and see all the ones you skipped that are positive about me because
well,
I can't get on it.
There's not that many of those.
Oh, yeah, there are. I used to, I looked at them every day.
No, that
you
is not.
Conveniently forgot. But that's fine. I can't look at it now because I have to do 2.5 hours of training.
That is not.
Which means I will never have the text line.
That is not what is most exciting about the text line. What is most exciting about the text line is that now we have the ability to have a vote poll every day on the show that you vote in via the text line. Here's today's. Because, you know, you gotta start off, you gotta ease into it. You gotta ramp up. It's a slow build. It's a slow burn, as we in the wrestling fandom might say. So today's text line question of the day is very simple. Which of the playoff final four is going to win the national championship? Here's how you vote. All you got to do is text Lions, Irish, Buckeyes, or Longhorns to 844-326-3663. That's all you got to do. You text Irish, Lions, Buckeyes, or Longhorn. Nittany Lions, that's too many. It's too much to ask people to text.
Okay, all right. It was,
yeah.
Yeah, it's
and be
right.
Like, text Nittany Lions. No, just text Lions.
You should have went Nittany.
You know how many people are going to misspell Nittany?
Yes.
So many.
That's the fun part.
844-326-3663 is the Armada text line. Who of the playoff final four is going to win the national championship? Text your vote to 844-326-3663. Text Lions, Longhorns, Irish, or Buckeyes to 844-326-3663. And here's what's even cooler than that. For those that are on the Twitter this morning, you can actually participate in this poll as well. All you have to do is tweet at the fan upstate and then tweet hashtag Lions, hashtag Irish, hashtag Buckeyes, or hashtag Longhorns. All right. So if you're on your phone this morning and you would like to vote in our poll, which of the playoff final four is going to win the Natty? You can text 844-326-3663. Text Lions, Irish, Buckeyes, or Longhorns, or on Twitter, text at the fan upstate, hashtag Lions, hashtag Buckeyes, hashtag Longhorns, or hashtag whatever the other one I forgot is. Irish. No, I said Irish. Buckeyes, Irish, Longhorns, Lions. That's it. All right. Hashtag whatever one of those your votes is. Send them to, again, either text line 844-326-3663 or send the hashtag of your answer at the fan upstate on Twitter at the end of the show. We will tabulate those and I will announce them on social media and on the air.
Did you make the show specific or did you, I mean, because there's a way to do that according to the training.
There is, but the way that it is going to work is that this poll will close with 15 minutes remaining in the show.
Ah,
so
okay.
We will know this poll closes at 9:45 a.m., which means that the last thing that we will do before we ask what the X is going on every day at 9:45 is to check the results of that day's poll. Today's poll, very simple. Which of the final four teams will win the national championship? Text your answer, Lions, Longhorns, Buckeyes, or Irish to 844-326-3663 or on Twitter at TheFanUpstate, hashtag Irish, hashtag Lions, hashtag Longhorns, hashtag Buckeyes, and we will tabulate that and determine who it is that you all feel is the best team left standing at 945, and I will put the answer out on our social media after the show. All right. Texter said, Rob, Notre Dame scored 17 points in 57 seconds of real game time. That, all caps, was the ball game. Freeman outcoached Kirby. Georgia Klemp zoned last PM, period. End quote. I will say this. I think Marcus Freeman did a hell of a job in that game. The runoff on of the field goal unit, right? Late in that game, they sent on the field goal unit. Georgia adjusted to it. They ran off all 11, ran the offense back on. Now, I will say this. It almost screwed Notre Dame. And this is one of the things that you can do it, but you got to be very careful about the timing of that, right? Because if you put field goal unit on, and then you run them off and you run your offense back out there, remember, if you make those mass substitutions, the defense has the right to make their own substitutions. And the official is going to stand over the football until they feel that the defense has had sufficient time to make those substitutions. So they did that, and the official was standing over the ball until there was about 4 seconds left on the play clock before he got out of the way. Notre Dame was able to get the snap off and run the ball there against Georgia's defense that was kind of trying to get set and figure out what was going on. It almost bit him. It almost bit him in the backside, because had that referee stayed for another second or two, there was a very good chance that it could have ended up being a delay of game. Now, don't know that it would have mattered other than it would have backed Notre Dame that much further up towards their own end zone. But, you know, Kirby came out and complained about it. After the game was over, he's like, he said the SEC officials told us that you cannot run 11 off and 11 on like that. Well, I got to tell you, if that's what the SEC told you, blame the SEC. I don't know what you want to tell you. The rule in that case is they absolutely can. But the defense gets time to make their substitution as well. And as we saw in the last game.
Yeah, see Illinois,
yep.
South Carolina for that.
Yep. As we saw in the last game, if a situation ultimately gets created where the offensive team ends up taking a delay of game because they do not give the defensive team sufficient time to make the adjustments, that's on them, dog. That's on them. So, you know, it just kind of is what it is. But I would agree with you. Okay. Let's start with this. Did Marcus Freeman outright outcoach Kirby Smart last night? I have already said, I said it back in the first segment of the show. Yes, 17 points in 57 seconds was the ballgame. You are exactly correct. However, I would point out that if ETN doesn't fumble that ball in the first quarter and Georgia scores on that initial drive going in and they put a touchdown on the board. Because I'll tell you, I was tweeting out early in that game, great one. I was on social media saying it looks like the SEC fans are going to get to lean on their bigger, stronger, faster narrative for another year, right? Early in the game, it looked like Georgia was just going to push Notre Dame around. Early in the game, it looked like Georgia was just whipping that Irish rear right at the line of scrimmage, which I said, coming into the second round of the playoffs, I was not, as far as my picks go, I was not going to make the same mistake that I made in round one. The mistake that I made in round number one that I said I wasn't going to make in round number two was overthinking the games, right? Overthink. Well, you know, if SMU with Kevin Jennings is able to do this, they got a chance to win here. And what ended up happening was that I came up with all these variables, and I just assumed that SMU would be able to do all these things. And the reality was, no, they just got whipped at the line of scrimmage. Going into the Ohio State-Tennessee game, I said, look, Tennessee has got, in my opinion, maybe the best front seven in the playoffs. And if they can do this, and this to Will Howard, they're going to be fine. Now, this is probably not the best example from round number one.
Yeah, I'm guessing you probably should have skipped over that example.
Because Ohio State whipped Tennessee's rear end at the line of scrimmage. But again, I think with that one, Zoe, even you brought it up, this was a Buckeye offensive line that has been a mash unit all year long. It has had guys rotating from position to position, from depth chart spot to depth chart spot, et cetera, et cetera. And that kind of made it a little more difficult. But, you know, with Clemson, we were coming up with all these special things that Dabo could have his team do to give themselves a chance on the road against Texas. And Texas just came out and said, yeah, we're just going to kick your ass where the football is. And you're going to have to do special stuff. And Clemson just could not do it. Texas ran for 292 yards. That'll win you every ball game. So with all of that being said, round two, I said, look, I'm going to pick the bigger, faster, stronger team. But the thing is, there was one exception, was Georgia. And Lonzo was still almost right. I said, look, I think you're coming in here with a backup quarterback who has thrown 51 passes, and depending on how this game goes, might have to throw 51 passes in this one in order to get him there. Lonzo said, yeah, but what if he's a real deal? What if he's as advertised? What if he is that good? And I thought, I mean, he might be, but am I going to bank on that? The answer is, yeah, I should have. But Notre Dame came out in this game, and I'm going to say this. Did Notre Dame win the line of scrimmage last night? I don't think they did. I don't think they did. I think Georgia won the line of scrimmage. I think that what this game came down to was, with all due respect to Notre Dame, and again, as I said last night when I was hosting BetMGM Tonight, Brandon, who is one of the producers, big Irish guy, he was all upset at me because I said, honestly, I think Georgia did enough to win the ball game, but then they just gave a bunch of it back. And he said, wait a minute, we won. And I said, yeah, you did. But if ETN doesn't fumble that ball in the first quarter, that's a touchdown, that's a game breaker. If, I forget the kid's name, but the wide receiver doesn't drop a touchdown pass that hit him in the face on the left-hand side, that's a touchdown, that's a game breaker. If there were not one, not two, but three first down plays that Georgia receivers don't just drop the ball, more drops than anybody else in college football. They ended that last 41 drop passes this year for Georgia. If they don't drop those, they win the ball game. I think Georgia shot themselves in the foot more than Notre Dame took it from them. That's why I'm a Penn State guy in the next round. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. All right. So, power ranking the four teams remaining in the college football semifinals. The Ohio State Horse Chestnuts, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, the Texas Longhorns, and the Penn State Nittany Lions, eh? I don't think that's how they talk in Pennsylvania, but I don't know what Pennsylvanians talk like. So.
Well, it's kind of almost Canada. It's not quite Michigan.
Well, that's what I did, eh?
Yeah.
Go Nittany Lions.
It's toned down a little.
Ah, the Penn State Nittany Lions, don't you know?
That sounds more like Wisconsin.
I don't know. Anyway, of the four teams.
Or Alaska.
Power ranked, Lonzo, in after the quarterfinals. Power ranked in the confidence that I have for them to win the national championship.
Ooh, can I go first?
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to go Buckeyes.
One.
Penn State.
Two.
Notre Dame.
Three.
Texas.
Texas four. Texas four behind Notre Dame. I'm going Buckeyes one, Penn State two, Texas three, Notre Dame four. For the record, there's a part of me that wants to see Notre Dame win it, not because I'm a Notre Dame fan, but just because they're kind of, it's been 31 years since they've done anything of note in a bowl game. It would be, I think, one of those things that, as cliche as it sounds, it's one of those spots where it's like, okay, college football's better if Notre Dame's a genuine participant in it. And I think they got to win to get back there. But I agree with you. Buckeyes won, no questions asked. They're the only team that has been consistently dominant in these playoffs.
I'd say Penn State, I think, has a bigger chip on their shoulder than Notre Dame does. I think that's going to factor in. Because their coach has been told he can't win the big one.
I mean, so is yours, though, right? So is yours. I think Marcus Freeman's got... I think Marcus Freeman took the pressure off last night. I think James Franklin, despite having... Because here's what I did notice when I was hosting BetMGM Tonight last night. We were having this conversation. I was obviously scanning social media throughout the evening. And as I was doing that, and the more I looked at it, the more I saw on social media, the more I saw the conversation taking place over and over that Penn State got a very beneficial draw in these playoffs. And I don't think it's unfair to say that is true, right? Like, I don't think it is unfair to say that Penn State catching Indiana, SMU, Boise State, and then making their way into the semifinal they had a hell of a lot of work than the Oregon Ducks even.
This was brought into question like right after the seeding happened. And the commissioner, the dude from Michigan, I don't remember his name. I just know that I look at him and see Michigan, said they have nothing to do with placing teams in a certain. It just has to do with how the seeding works. And Ohio State and Oregon in the same thing was kind of ridiculous.
I mean, again, like the bracket kind of is the way the bracket is, right? Like there is a long-term reality coming down the pipe that I think at some point we end up in a spot where we are going to have, instead of, because we've had this conversation before, where I think the playoff selection committee, which already obviously does do their own rankings at this spot, maybe does some reseeding, right? Do we maybe reseed the playoffs? Because you look at the Oregon Ducks, and even though they caught a bye, they get Ohio State in round two. Penn State had to play in round one. But let me ask you this, genuinely. If I put your team in the playoffs right now, and I said, before the playoffs started, you can go Ohio State, Texas, Natty, or you can go SMU, Boise State, winner of Notre Dame, Georgia, Natty. Aren't you taking the second path? Even though it's an additional game, aren't you taking the second path as opposed to playing two of the top three teams in America to get there? The answer to me is yeah. The answer to me is yes. So I do think, and we talked about this earlier in the week, we talked about the fact that the College Football Playoff Committee, according to Brett McMurphy of The Athletic, is looking at changing the seeding process for the College Football Playoff Tournament. And instead of giving the top four conference champions the four byes, they would just give the top four teams the four byes, right? And we went and looked and broke down what that bracket would look like this year if they went about it that way. And you had some pretty big changes down the pipe if it would have gone down that way. I'm trying to go back and pull up what that bracket would have looked like this year if they would have seeded it that way. I saved it somewhere, and I'm trying to go find where it was. But basically, you would have ended up like you'd have had Tennessee. Here it is. You'd have had Tennessee hosting Indiana in round one. Excuse me, Boise State on the road at Indiana in round one. You'd have had Clemson at Notre Dame, Arizona State at Ohio State, SMU at Tennessee. On paper, that might be a more interesting first round. I would also say, with the exception of maybe Boise State, Indiana, I mean, maybe Arizona State could have made it a game with Ohio State. Honestly, I think Tennessee probably gets the better at SMU. I still think you would have had the four higher-seeded teams move on. I think Boise State probably could have beaten Indiana. Not a guarantee. I think they could have. But the point here is, had they done it that way, you'd have potentially had a more interesting bracket. But I would also say this. You're not doing a damn thing to kill off the criticism that this is the SEC Big Ten Invitational. because, and I pointed this out, your four host sites in round one, Big Ten Indiana, Independent Notre Dame, Big Ten Ohio State, SEC Tennessee. Your four byes would have been Big Ten Oregon, Big Ten Penn State, SEC Texas, SEC Georgia. So basically, on one hand, and we talked about this, and I haven't gotten a chance to address this with the great one yet. On one hand, great one, you would have had, I think, a more interesting bracket to keep it a buck with you. Even though I don't have a problem with what everything has been so far, you'd have had a more interesting bracket. But on the flip side, yeah, the SEC and the Big Ten would have got all the handouts. They would have got the benefit of the doubt. They would have hosted all but one of the four sites. The only one they didn't was Independent Notre Dame. They would have had all four of the byes. It would have absolutely been set up to give an easier path to the SEC and the Big Ten. And the question mark is, do you feel like they are justified in doing that because they were the best two conferences in football?
So if they do reseeding, what's to stop them from doing it for marketing purposes? Because because that's really what I believe they'll do. If they can reseed, they're going to go, okay, we put this team here and this team over here, so we have the best possible national championship game.
Look, I think the way
as far as viewership goes,
I think the way they're going to look at it is this, and we talked about this very briefly yesterday, probably should have spent more time on it. The TV ratings for the Saturday games, when there were two college football games up against two NFL games, came out. College football got its ass whipped. That's all there is to it. The two college football games that were up against NFL games had 6 and I think 8 million viewers. And the NFL games averaged 14 million
viewers.
And
those were playoff games, weren't they?
They were playoff games. Clemson and Texas was one of them. 6 million viewers. You know what the two college football games on Sunday averaged? The ones that were, what was the other day? That the two college football games that weren't up against the NFL games? You know how many they got? 14 million viewers. So I would also point out that two of those games were absolute beatdowns, right? And so the argument I think you're going to end up seeing, in this conversation is, not only are we going to either have to change the schedule to not be up against NFL games, but we have got to figure out a way to make the games more entertaining, not have four blowouts. I think this is kind of the first experiment. By the way, didn't I tell you coming into this year, because I didn't think this was going to be a shock to anybody, didn't I tell you coming into this year, guys, we're going to tinker at the end of this year, right? This is year one of a major change. Maybe the biggest individual one-year change to the championship structure in college football.
Quick question, because I should know this, but for some reason it's eluding me. The four teams that remained, did any of them win their championship? I don't think they did.
Nope.
Did
they? Nope. All four of your conference champs, the Big Four conference champs, and Boise State all bounced. Your Big Four that got your four that got the bye were bounced. And then your ACC champ in Clemson, who got in as the 12th seed, got bounced in round one. None of your, and this is the other reason they're going to do that, because in your number one of the 12-team playoff, zero conference champions make it to the semifinal. All four are at-larges. So they're going to look at this and go, whoa, hang on. Maybe we've undersold, or I guess in this case, oversold what winning a conference championship means. Now, I'll tell you who's going to hate this. The conferences, right? Because the whole conversation has been floating around, should we begin? I played you a quote from CBS Sports' Chip Patterson the other day, where he's like, you want to fix all this? Get rid of conference championship games. Throw them out the window. Have every team play 12 regular season games and rack them up by the playoff selection committee. Get rid of conference championship games. They do nothing to help. In fact, they only complicate with no purpose. But you know the SEC, the ACC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Mountain West, all these conferences, they're not going to do that because the conference championship games are worth millions of dollars in TV money.
They could still name a conference champion.
They could do it. Absolutely. Yeah, regular season conference champion. But there's a reason we stopped doing that between the mid-90s into the mid-2000s, and everybody switched over because it's a money-making opportunity. And I can promise you, no matter what you're thinking about doing to make college football better, if it's going to cost somebody money, you might as well throw that idea out, all right? So I don't know. I don't know what's going to end up going, but I do think it is interesting that none, uh, none of the college football conference champions that made the tournament have advanced into the semifinals. It's all runners-up. It's all second-place teams. So I think there's something to be said for that. And I am interested in seeing how the rest of these playoffs shape up. More importantly, I'm interested in seeing what changes the CFP decides to make to themselves during this offseason after this whole thing plays out. But
so if you're an SEC, it just means more guy. Are you a big-time Texas fan right now?
I mean, if you're an SEC guy, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because it's the last remaining SEC team.
Yeah.
And I guess if you look at it, if you're a conference guy, the Big Ten is the conference, right?
I mean, again, I don't get into that crap, so I don't care.
I said if you were.
Yeah. I don't get into that crap, so I don't care. If you're an SEC guy, hell yeah, you're a big old Texas fan right now. Yeehaw, rootin' tootin' Cowboys. Let's go get them. SEC. By the way, the Big 12's team that just came over. So there's that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I think, again, I don't really care about all that. I care about finding out who the best team in college football is. And I think right now, based on what we've seen so far, great one, I think we got the best four teams in this tournament moved on to the semifinals. I think we have the best four teams that made this tournament on their way into the semifinals, and all of them played in round one. Now, here's the other question. If you're looking at that, if you're a team in a conference championship game next year, and you're looking at what happened to Oregon, actually, you're looking at to all four teams that caught a bye, but if you're looking at those teams, do you maybe kind of write off conference championship games? Do you toss your conference championship game next year? Do you roll the backups out there and go, we don't really care, and everybody who had the bye last year got beat in round two, so we're out, we don't want it? Because I got to tell you, if I offered today Oregon the opportunity to have flipped places with Penn State and go play where Penn State was playing and send Penn State to play Ohio State in round two, you're telling me Duck fans wouldn't have taken that deal if I offered it to them today? You're damn right they would have. So now do they preemptively take that deal by laying down in conference championship games moving forward? And if that ends up being the case, is that the trigger for getting rid of them? I don't know. There's a lot up in the air here. All right? We're going to talk more about it. I got a bunch of texts coming in. Text the show, 844-326-3663. We are asking, which of the semifinal teams wins the Natty? Text Lions, Longhorns, Irish, or Buckeyes to 844-326-3663 to get your vote counted. I vote that we all listen to Lonzo do a sports flash now.
Yeah, I vote we don't, but I guess we have to. The final college football playoff semifinal spot has been claimed by the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. With a 23-10 win over the Georgia Bulldogs, Notre Dame quarterback Riley Leonard threw for only 90 yards and a touchdown, and Notre Dame ran for 150. But a 98-yard kick return for a touchdown separated the teams. Georgia's sophomore quarterback Gunnar Stockton threw for 234 yards and a touchdown in his first start, but Georgia had three critical drops, including a likely touchdown. Notre Dame will take on Penn State in the semis. The NFL Pro Bowl rosters were released yesterday, and Carolina Panthers will be represented by cornerback J.C. Horn, who makes his Pro Bowl debut. Tampa Bay sends tackle Tristan Wirfs and defensive lineman Vita Vea. Make sure you tune in tomorrow at 3:30 as the Furman Paladins take on UNC Greensboro in basketball action right here on The Fan Upstate.